So we're dealing with verses 28 to 32. So this is the word that I spoke unto Pharaoh. What God doeth, he has caused Pharaoh to see. Behold, there come 7 years of great abundance of produce in all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the abundance of produce shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land, and an abundance of produce shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine after it, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the word is established by God, and God is hastening to do it. So, this is the word that I spoke unto Pharaoh by means of influx into the natural. The celestial of the spiritual affirms in the thought of the natural that it is God who is the sole power or doer by which all apparent powers belonging to the natural have their life and existence. So that's kind of the first part of that. So it's recognizing that all life flows in. That's the principle, really. And that the natural, which is where we're at, is where our self is, and that's where we experience life, has absolutely no power of its own. That there is nothing in us at all that can think, feel, see, hear, speak. All of it is from influx. And I read out last time, I think, whether it was this group or another group, where from Divine Providence, where Swedenborg talks about his realization of that in the spiritual world, and that he was given to love that fact. So we tend in our natural, well, in my natural, there is an inherent resistance to accepting that truth. And it is, you know, it is a big thing as far as the spiritual life goes, coming to terms with the fact that we are nothing before anything can be initiated by the Lord, which is what's described in the despair that has to be reached, which is, you know, which is described in this reading. So the thing about that is that that state of despair is the word instructing us what the process involves. It's the same idea as the Lord telling the disciples over and over again what was come to pass. And the preparation is for when it happens, because up until that point, they don't really get it, and neither do we. So we read about this famine, and it's cyclic, yes, but, you know, there are major sort of, you know, tonight we had something described as just a major kind of experience of the Lord in a, I'm assuming in a positive sense. Yeah. So, but there are other major shifts as well that are on the other end of the spectrum, which is the removal of the loves of self and the world, or the detachment from those spirits that have an investment in maintaining us in a state that's detrimental to our spiritual well-being. So, and because our sense of identity is so tied into that, it is a major, you know, there are major difficulties involved in that shift. So that was that. So talking about the time of abundance and the time of famine. So in response to that, I just wrote, like, the things that are affirmed and brought to awareness at the level of the natural have to do with the processes belonging to the regeneration of the human mind. That's all the word is conveying to us here. It's telling us about the process. So we need to just remember that these things are not things that might or might not, you know, if I'm a better person, I mightn't have to go through this. That's not how this works. This unfolds as it must. This is the Lord's word. And as that flows in, you know, it's talking about the nature of influx and what it does within the mind. So as it flows in, it brings this to pass. You know, the dream is sure. It's not something that won't happen if we can do something to avoid the famine. You can't avoid famines in spiritual life. So that's something just to be aware of, and to be aware of others when they're going through a famine, that it's part of the process. It's not something we can support people through this sort of thing. We don't have to make it better for them, because the Lord knows what he's doing. Okay. So there will be a state of abundance, and that state is when the loves of self and the love of the world are active. So reputation, honor, and gain. If it can get something out of having the word and being knowledgeable about the word, it'll take it in. And that's all part of the process, because that's all the Lord's got to work with in that state. So truths and goods are taken in, our motivations are suspect, but as they're taken in, they are then indrawn by the Lord. And as that process goes on, there comes a point where that reputation, honor, and gain, it doesn't work anymore. And that's when you start entering into what's called an apparent state of deprivation of goods and truths, because it is apparent. And it's apparent because the loves of self and the love of the world no longer are really interested in truly, well, they never were, but then, it becomes more and more painfully obvious that they can no longer maintain their position, the appearance of being good and true, if you put it that way. So states that are involved in being overly moralistic tend to be self-righteous and judgmental. And if there's a genuine move towards what is spiritual, there's a realization of that. And if that starts, once that external religiosity starts to break down, that's the famine. There's nothing to actually get hold of in that. And we have to be brought round to experiencing things in a new way. And as we go through that process and the loves of self and the love of the world are being pushed more to the periphery, then the Lord can inject higher level heavenly loves, and truths can start to be restored in a way that's of order, because the Lord is recognized as being the sole source of life.